Now, before we get into the scriptures, I want to ask this question of the guys in the room. How many of you dads remember the day your first child was born? You remember that day, everybody? All you guys? All right. And so I don't know about the circumstances surrounding the delivery of your first child, but I know that for me, it was a proud and scary moment. All right, now let me ask you this. How many of you dads were in the delivery room when your children were born? All right, yeah. See, things are different now, right? Years ago, husbands just kind of waited out in the waiting room for the news of what was going on with their wife and their new child. Things are a lot different now. Dads are right there in the room and often taking part. I remember on the birth of my first daughter, Carly, we were in the delivery room and Pam was delivering, and the doctor got mad at the nurse that was in the room, and looked at her and said, "You, get out of here." And then he pointed at me and he said, "You, get over here." I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to pass out right then, but everything turned out okay. Well, you know, I always hesitate to speak on the subject of parenting, fearing that someone might think that I think I'm an expert on the subject when I'm not. When I speak on this subject, I'm speaking as a fellow traveler, not as an authority on this subject. Now, it's a scary thing to bring children into today's world. Many young couples enter into marriage questioning whether or not they'll have any kids. They have doubts about their ability to be parents, and they don't want to repeat the same mistakes that their parents made as they were growing up. And often, these young couples have doubts about whether or not it would be right to bring children technical difficulties. Young couples today, as I said, sometimes have doubts as to whether or not it would be right to bring children into a world that is as corrupt and evil as our own. And these young couples will often ask the question, is it possible to bring up godly children in an ungodly world? And I would answer a profound and loud yes to that question, because I've seen in the pages of the Bible that it has happened over and over again. And the most beneficial aid to this happening is that a child grow up with the influence of a godly parent, or even better yet, godly parents. And so I want us to look for a few moments at the life of a godly dad in the Old Testament named Enoch. And the thing that made Enoch a godly parent was that every day he walked with God. And that was no easy thing. It was not an easy thing for him to live a godly life. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible describes the society that existed just a very short time after Enoch. And it says that the thoughts of man's heart were evil all the time. And that things had gotten so bad that it made God sorry that he had ever created man. And in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 39, Jesus described the days of Noah, who was Enoch's great-grandson, this way. He said, "As the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. As in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And so it was a happy-go-lucky kind of society where everyone did just whatever they desired to do with no thought of coming judgment. It was a pleasure-seeking, self-gratifying generation where the laws of God were forsaken and disregarded. Sounds similar, doesn't it? Sounds familiar to the day we live in. And in the middle of a crooked and perverse world like that, Enoch walked with God. And so can you, dads, and so can you, moms, and so can all of us, because we have the same God that Enoch had. We can all walk with God. But that raises the question, what does it mean when it says Enoch walked with God? What does it mean to be a godly parent or just a godly Christian in general in this ungodly world? So let's take a look at what it meant for Enoch. Now, we don't know a lot about Enoch, and there are really only three short references to him in the scripture. But listen, if I was going to have anything written about me in scripture, I would love to have it written about me, what was written about Enoch. Now, his story is found, first of all, in the book of Genesis. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 5. We'll start there. We're going to look at all three of the references this morning. Genesis chapter 5. And once you get to Genesis 5, go down to verse 21. And we'll read through verse 24 here. It says, in Genesis 5:21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, that's the first reference. Now, for the next reference, you have to go over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. And there we see Enoch mentioned in this great hall of fame of faith. Hebrews chapter 11. And verses 5 and 6. It says in verse 5 of Hebrews 11, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, the last reference to Enoch is found in the book of Jude. So let's turn over there and we'll read that one as well. The book of Jude, only one short little chapter here, but he's mentioned in verses 14 and 15. It mentions a message that he preached, a prophecy that he gave. Jude, beginning in verses 14 and 15, it says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, with all those verses in mind, let's consider what it means when it says Enoch walked with God. Number one is this. Walking with God means to go in God's direction. to go in God's direction. Not the direction of that those around me are going, not the direction that the world is going, and not the direction I want to go on my own. You see, going on my own is really the essence of sin. The essence of sin is choosing to go my own way and do my own thing rather than doing what God wants me to do. Isaiah 53:6 explains that. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." The essence of sin is choosing to go my own way and do my own thing rather than doing what God wants me to do. Now, of course, when Enoch was born, he was born into sin, just like all of us, right? He was born with the same sin nature that we have. But something happened that pulled him towards God. And I'm thinking it was the birth of his son, Methuselah. I think that's a good possibility. Suddenly, he had a responsibility. Suddenly, he had someone who would look up to him and follow his footsteps. And so, he went from going his own way in his own direction, and he turned around and headed a different way. He started going in God's way. And you know what we call that? We call that repentance. Repentance is changing the way that we walk. I was walking towards sin, but now I'm walking away from sin and towards holiness and towards God. And so walking with God, first of all, means to be going God's way, doing things his way. Now, number two, walking with God means living by faith. Living by faith every day. Faith, as we read in Hebrews 11:6, is believing that God is and that he is a rewarder of them who seek him. Another way of saying that is to say faith is believing that God exists and that God is good. And here, we're talking about practical faith, daily faith, like a faith that your kids have the potential to become great in God's hands. Faith that God can take better care of your kids than you can. Can you even imagine sending your kids to a school campus today without the assurance that there is a God and that he is constantly watching over your kids? That's faith. That's faith. We're talking about faith that God can change you and can enable you to be a great dad or be a great mom or just be a faithful Christian in general. Faith that God can provide for you and your family even when the bills are high and the funds are low. Faith to enable you to live in obedience to him, doing that which is right even when it's costly. Walking with God means to be living by faith. And not just faith for salvation, but everyday faith. Trusting God every day for every need and every bit of direction and guidance that you need. So it's walking with God means living by faith. And then number three, walking with God means to share his companionship. To share his companionship in good times and the bad. You see, walking with God doesn't mean that we follow behind him in his footsteps, tracing the same path that he traced long ago. No, it means that we walk with him side by side, hand in hand. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." You know, companionship is all about talking and listening. We talk to God through prayer, and then we listen to him through his word and through his Holy Spirit. You know, Abraham was called the friend of God. And the same can be said of you and I if we, like Abraham, seek that close companionship. And so I wonder, do your children see you actively pursuing your relationship with God? And not just your children, but just in general. Do your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, do they see you actively pursuing your relationship with God? Walking with God means to share his companionship. And then number four, walking with God means to be a strong witness. Because you see things the way God sees them. You've got the God of the universe beside you. And you want your life to be a witness to that in both your words and your actions and your attitudes. For instance, at your job, you may be asked to do things that are wrong, but you know that God is watching. However, you also know that he'll forgive you. So you're tempted to go along with what you've been asked to do. But what if you knew that your children could see you? Would you give them the opportunity to be proud of you for standing up for what's right? You know, the strongest witness that you can have as a parent is to send out great kids into the world. As a dad, do you want to have an impact on your world? I know many of you dads, like me, are approaching that point in your life where you look back over everything that you've done and you ask yourself, what difference have I made in this world? What or who has been changed by my presence here? It's kind of a spiritual midlife crisis. But I'll tell you this, if you want to really have an impact on your world, do it through your kids. They're your arrows into the world. According to Psalm 127, verse 5, it says you'd be happy to have your quiver full of arrows. They are what you shoot out ahead of you. They go where you cannot go and accomplish what you cannot accomplish. Enoch had a son whose name was Methuselah, who lived to be the oldest man ever, 969 years. And then Methuselah had a son named Lamech, and Lamech had a son named Noah. Enoch's great-grandson, Noah, was used of God to rescue mankind from extinction. Think about this now. Enoch walked with God, and he instilled that into his son Methuselah. And Methuselah walked with God and instilled that in his son Lamech. And Lamech walked with God and instilled that in his son Noah. And God used Noah to rescue mankind from extinction. How's that for impacting your world? How's that for impacting your world? You see, when a parent is an active believer, there's about a 75% likelihood that the children will also become active believers. And so, Dad, Mom, do you want to have a strong witness? Grandmas, grandpas, do you want to have a strong witness? And this, maybe even aunts and uncles. I know in my life, I had some godly aunts and uncles who had a big influence on me. Do you want to have a strong witness before your children, before your grandchildren, before your nieces and nephews, and before the world in general? Something very important for us to consider, because walking with God means to have a strong witness, a strong witness. And then number five, walking with God means sometimes forsaking time with family in order to commune with God. In order to go where God was, Enoch had to leave his family behind. Now, walking with God might require you to not desert your family, not forsake it or abandon your family. But I'll tell you this, walking with God will require you to sometimes take a serious amount of time to commune with God and to do the things God wants you to do instead of spending every moment with your family and doing what pleases them. But I'll tell you this, and you can mark this down. Getting closer to God is the best thing you can do for your family. Getting closer to God is the best thing you can do for your family. God didn't take Enoch before his family was at the point where they could survive without him. And our job as parents is to get our children to the point where they don't need us anymore. They can survive without us by trusting in God. Now, we all like to be needed, right? The scariest day in the life of many parents is the day that their last child walks down the aisle and leaves home. It's like, who's going to need me now, you know? But by spending time with God, Enoch had become the kind of parent who could train his children in their own walk with God so that when he was gone, they would be okay physically and okay spiritually without him. In 1989, head coach Jimmy Johnson divorced his wife of 26 years when he left coaching a college team to become head coach of the Dallas Cowboys in the National Football League. He said, now this is not my saying, he said that he needed a wife while coaching on the college level for social functions and to show families that he would be looking out for their sons. But in pro football, she was unnecessary baggage and a distraction to winning. He said winning football was his number one priority and his two sons second. You talk about tragic, tragic. But in contrast to that, Tom Landry, the previous longtime head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, said this. He said, the thrill of knowing Jesus is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. I think God has put me in a very special place, and he expects me to use it to his glory in everything I do. Whether coaching football or talking to the press, I'm always a Christian. Christ is first, family is second, and football is third. What a statement, and what a contrast. And oh, how we need more men and women like Tom Landry who have the right priorities in life. Now, number six, walking with God means to arrive at God's destination. Enoch, it says, was translated to heaven. I find this interesting. You know, in America, when we send a man into outer space, we call him an astronaut. And in Russia, did you know when they send a man into outer space, they call him a cosmonaut? But when God sends a man into outer space, he calls him a was not. It says, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. And the best way for me to describe what happened to Enoch is with the words of a little girl who came home from Sunday school and described the event to her parents. She said, every day God would come by Enoch's house and say, Enoch, would you walk with me? And Enoch would come out of the house, go down to the gate, and down the road with God. And he got to the place in his life that he enjoyed it so much that he'd wait at the gate every day. And he and God would go for a walk. Then one day, God came by and said, Enoch, let's take a long walk because I've got a lot to tell you. And so they were walking and talking and walking and talking. And finally, Enoch said, oh no, it's getting really late. I better get back home. And God said, Enoch, you're closer to my house than you are your house. Why don't you just come home with me? And so Enoch went home with God. Now, God's ultimate destination for you as a Christian is that every day you are to become more and more and more like his son Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says, you have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. God's plan for you as a Christian is for you to become more and more and more and more like Jesus every day until that great day when you see him face to face and you become as he is. One time, the gospel musician Hilding Halverson told of overhearing a conversation between his son and three other little boys. The boys were bragging about their dads. One boy said very proudly, "My dad knows the mayor of our town." Another said, "So? My dad knows the governor of our state." And the next boy just really puffed up with pride, said, "Nah, so what?" He said, "My dad knows the president of the United States." And then Halverson's son spoke up and he said, "That's nothing. My dad knows God." Halverson said he very quickly slipped away to his bedroom and got on his knees. And with tears in his eyes, he said, "God, I pray that my boy will always be able to say, my dad knows God." He realized that he had been paid the supreme tribute. And so, Christian, let me ask you the question, are you walking with God? Or have you been walking your own way lately? And as you examine your heart and your life, if you find that you've been mostly walking your own way, then my advice is real simple. Just repent. Turn around, take God's hand, and start walking in a different direction. But you know, that question, are you walking with God, doesn't just apply to dads. It also applies to moms, grandparents, and just Christians in general. Are you walking with God? The way to walk with God is to go in God's direction. Not your own way, but doing the things God wants you to do. It means to live by faith, to just trust God every day to meet your needs. It means to share God's companionship. To spend time talking to him and listening to him. It means to have a strong witness. And not just before your children, but before the world. A witness that's made clear by your words and your actions and your attitude, showing the difference God makes in your life. It means sometimes forsaking time with family to commune with God. And by the way, that's the need of every Christian. To spend time every day communing with God. Spending time reading his word. Spending time in prayer. Spending time worshiping him. Every Christian needs that on a daily basis. And then to walk with God means to arrive at God's destination. And let me close by saying that there's no way anyone can arrive at God's destination without faith in Christ as your Savior and Lord. Remember what Jesus said in John 14, 6, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You can't walk with God if you don't know Christ personally, having called out to him to forgive your sins and to give you everlasting life. So I guess I really have two questions as we end this. If you're a Christian, are you walking with God? And if not, it's not too late to start, right? This is your opportunity to make a change, to turn around and repent and just start going God's way. Start doing the things God wants you to. Rededicate your life to living for him and loving him and serving him. And my second question is for the second group of people. That question is, do you know God? And the only way to know him is by receiving Christ into your heart and life as your Savior and Lord. Enoch knew God. Enoch walked with God. And the question is, how about you? How about you? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and for the lessons to be learned from the life of Enoch. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us all as your people to walk with you, to live close to you, to serve you, to love you, to commune with you, to witness for you. Lord, help us to be the kind of Christian Enoch was so that people would be able to say about us that we walk with God. Lord, help it to be clear in our lives that you are the greatest influence upon us. And Lord, if there's anybody listening who has never trusted Christ as their Savior, they don't know you personally, Lord, I pray that today they'd see this to be their greatest need. And they'd open up their heart and call out to Christ and invite him in as their Savior to wash their sins away and to give them everlasting life. Lord, work upon hearts and help them to see this need in their life. Again, thank you for your word, and thank you for the opportunity we've had to look into it. In Jesus' name, amen.